and that's where your story will take over. And I won't say any more about that part. But he lived in Kalimpong for some years. And during some of the years, I don't know whether he was in Kalimpong or where he was, but he had a premonition, or he had a vision of some sort. And the vision was that he saw a monastery being built in Baudhnath, in Nepal, just outside Kathmandu. And he decided, well, we've got to build this monastery. And he set about, and he built this monastery in Nepal, and that became his main seat. He had a number of smaller other monasteries where he'd give teachings, and he'd go around and make sure his monks and disciples were getting on okay. But the main seat was this, well, it turned out to be quite a large monastery in Nepal. And he got to be quite well known, especially as some of the Nyingma Lamas, the more famous ones, died. And people began to rely on him more and more to pass on important initiations. In fact, the Dalai Lama himself received some initiations from him, from which, you know, he wouldn't have had those initiations otherwise, because only Dzogchen Khyentse Rinpoche had them by that time. But also the Dalai Lama regarded it was very important that he receive even teachings that he'd had from other people, that he should also have them from Dzogchen Khyentse Rinpoche, because he thought his understanding and appreciation of Buddhist teachings was, well, quite incomparable, really. One of the things that Dzogchen Khyentse Rinpoche spent his life doing was studying and writing. Apparently his writings are quite extensive. I saw a pile in one of the monasteries of texts that he'd apparently written, which was, you know, Tibetan texts, like these book, loose leaf book things. And the pile was like sitting about this high. And so, well, this was Dzogchen Khyentse Rinpoche's writings. He wrote commentaries upon the various lineages which had come down to him, the various philosophical teachings, the basic texts of the Hinayana. He wrote commentaries upon many, many things. He also wrote poetry. And if you get a chance to hunt out a little, it's like a softback magazine, not just an ordinary magazine, quite a sort of an upmarket magazine. I think it's called Maitreya. I think it's called Maitreya, the magazine. In there are two or three poems that have been translated by Dzogchen Khyentse Rinpoche. And they're quite beautiful poems. One was written for Trungpa Rinpoche, the Trungpa that went and settled in America. But the impression you get from the poem is a very, very strong empathy with nature. The images that he uses are very akin to the images that the seventh Dalai Lama uses in his poetry, where he sort of reflects upon trees and reflects upon streams, and just writes about those things as they inspire things to him. So his poetry seems to be a bit like that. He was also regarded as being a Terton. So you probably remember that there are teachings called Termas, which were the teachings which Padmasambhava had hidden, because his disciples in the world weren't ready for those teachings. They were too advanced, they were too difficult, or the time just was not ripe for those teachings. So he hid them in various places. He hid them in rocks, he hid them in the sky, he hid them in water, he hid them in the sun and the moon. So apparently in his youth, as a young man, Dzogchen Khyentse Rinpoche was hailed as a Terton. Now, why? Well, presumably because he discovered a terma, or at least one terma, maybe several termas. But which were the termas and how many he discovered, I don't know. But I know from what's written about him, he was regarded as a Terton, somebody who takes out the treasures and interprets them. Sometimes it's regarded that the taker out can't actually interpret them himself. He's got to look for his other half, who can actually interpret them. He's not called a Terton, he's called something else. A Terton is one who can take out the treasures, but can also decipher what's there, because sometimes all that's there is just a little syllable, or a phrase, or even sometimes just a symbol. And from that, the Terton is able to decipher what the secret teaching is. So as I said, he became very, very popular, and became very well known, as many other famous lamas died during the last 10, 15, 20 years. And he was requested to come to the West several times and teach. And he spent quite a lot of his time teaching in the Kagyupa monasteries, especially the monasteries connected with Trungpa Rinpoche and Akong Rinpoche in Scotland, in Samyeling. He spent quite a bit of time, you know, with those students, but also with some of the Nyingmapa students in the West. And he was very popular with people because of his very friendly attitude. He's quite a dignified man, in fact, very dignified, apparently. And you know, people were very impressed by him, but he was also very, very friendly. He's a very imposing man. I won't describe him very much, apart from just the impression which I got from seeing him a couple of years ago in Nepal. And when he travelled about, apparently he had a reputation, which I don't know if it's true, but I'll tell you what the reputation was anyway. The reputation was that he'd be willing to put himself out for people that were interested. But for those people who weren't interested, he wouldn't put himself out. Apparently what happened was, on one occasion he flew into Hamburg, and he was supposed to be met by a reception committee and taken off to such and such a place, and you know, all the sort of things that Tibetan lamas do, he was going to do. He arrived at Hamburg airport and was ushered into the VIP lounge, and there were just two or three people there. And apparently they didn't show very much interest in what he was going to be doing. So he just stayed for a few hours in the VIP lounge and instructed one of his disciples to go and book a ticket onto the next place. And he left several hours later. He just spent several hours with them. But in one of the other places in that same tour, he was only to be spending 3 or 4 days, but such was the interest that people had, he decided, well, I'll stay longer. And he just stayed as long as he wanted, and then moved on to the next section of his tour. So he gained this reputation, and whether it's actually justified, or whether it just comes about because of this one or two particular instances, I don't know. But he had this reputation of being willing to put himself out. And in some ways, I sort of regret that I didn't put myself out a bit more when I met him. And I'll tell you the story in a minute. Well, no, in fact, I can tell it now.